We talked this morning about the question of why would a loving God allow people to go to hell, and we said it's really made up of two questions. Number one, is there really a hell? And we kind of covered that this morning, that there really is. Jesus talked about it more than anybody else has, and so it's real. And then tonight we're going to be looking again at, does God send people to hell? And so we're going to read again Matthew 17, 13 through 14, where Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." The reason people have a real problem with the fact that God is going to send, sadly, the majority of people to the lake of fire is because they're questioning God's justice. God is our creator. God made the rules. We don't get a vote in this thing. We in America are so used to having a vote in everything and having a voice in everything, but when God makes the rules, guess what? God has the right to make the rules because he's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the one that gives us life and keeps us alive. And so he has a right to say, this is the way it's going to be, my friend. You can take your choice and fall in line with what he says, or you can rebel against it. The choice is yours, but the outcome of that choice is not yours. When we talk about this kind of justice, it almost seems offensive that somebody that really has lived a pretty decent life, we all agree there's nobody perfect, but there are some people that are really kind. They're good neighbors. They're good friends. They're people that keep their word and they do their work well. Why would God allow them to go to the lake of fire? It's offensive. The verdict seems unfair, especially if we see ourselves as inherently pretty good people. But the Bible again says there's none good in God's sight. You break one part of the law, you've broken it all. And so when God looks at a man that we say is a pretty good person, God sees a person that's broken the law all of his life, that has done all kinds of things that are wrong, even though it doesn't hit us too hard, but it hits him hard. We don't hate sin as people, most of us. God says he hates sin. We don't like sin when it's against us, but most of us don't really hate it when somebody else does something wrong. That's up to them. But God says, I made that person. I made that person in my image. I want him to love and know me. And when a person rebels against that, no matter how nice they may seem, they're rebelling against what God made them for. And so punishment seems excessive to us, but not to God. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He's talking to the children of Israel, but he could just as easily be talking even to his church today. God has certain things that he says, this is my truth, this is my holiness, this is the way it's going to be, and churches disagree with him. No! God, homosexuality is not a sin. Homosexuality is a very loving thing, and God says, no, it's not. It's an abomination in my sight. And they don't understand. We don't get to say what's right and wrong. God does. The church doesn't have a voice in that. We can agree with God. We can teach what God has said. But when we go against God's word, we're in rebellion against God himself. And he will not put up with rebellion. So my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He tells us we don't think like him. Why don't we think like him? Sinful nature, and we don't know everything. God knows everything. All the time. We know a little teeny bit. God sees all of history as one full sweep. We live 70, 80 years and think we know everything. Folks, God really knows far more than we do. And now we get the choice. Here's the choice. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He'll make your paths straight. But even God's church doesn't want to submit to Him. Israel did not want to submit to Him. Israel still doesn't want to submit to God. And they think they're going to be fine. Folks, it doesn't work that way. So let me ask you, as you sit here, do you trust God with all your heart? Are you stopping leaning to your own way? I don't want to be in charge anymore. I make shipwreck every time I take charge. I really want to give myself to God as a living sacrifice. I want to live His way for His glory, because He only knows what's right. I don't. And so I want to submit. We must also fear God. Many people today have no reverential fear of God at all. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." People are more afraid of people than they are of the Lord. It's interesting when you read what He said about hell, because again, Jesus said more about hell than anybody else in the Bible. Jesus absolutely believed in hell, because Jesus is the creator of everything, and He created hell for the devil and his angels. Jesus said in Matthew 8:12, "But the subject of the kingdom," that's talking about Israel, they were the subjects of the kingdom of Israel, "the subject of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Just because they were Israelites did not mean they were going to have eternal life. The next one is Matthew 13, verse 41. "The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they'll weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They'll be thrown into the blazing furnace, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's at the judgment of nations. Just after the millennial kingdom, God's going to bring all the nations together, and the angels are going to separate the sheep from the goats. And those that have not trusted Christ, after 1,000 years of living under His reign, there are still going to be people that never submitted to Christ, never received Him as their Savior, and they're going to the lake of fire. Matthew 5:22. "But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." Mark chapter 9, verse 42. "If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in Me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go to hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm that eats them do not die and the fire is not quenched." Folks, Jesus said a lot about hell. In Matthew 25, verse 46, "Then they'll go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." And when He's talking about the righteous, He's not talking about people that go to church every week. He's talking about those that have personally received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's going to be a lot of people that have been in church every week of their life that are not going to make it to heaven because they never submitted to Christ. Today, people have a problem with the idea of eternal punishment. They reject Christianity because they do not want to believe in a God that would send people to hell forever. C.S. Lewis once said, There's no doctrine which I would be more willing to remove from Christianity than this, if it lay in my power. He basically said, if God allowed me to have 5 minutes and an eraser for just 5 minutes, this idea of God sending people to hell is what I would first erase. But he said, I can't, because God said it's true. Folks, just because you don't like a truth in God's word does not mean it's not true. It means that with a fallen, sinful nature like we all have, we don't like God being in charge. We want to be in charge, and sadly, we're not. And so we have to either submit or rebel. The choice is ours. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the good news starts. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So how many did he come to seek and save? Every single person, because we were all lost at one time, every one of us. Jesus tells us in Luke 13:22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Remember Jesus said, I am the door? Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, saying, sir, open the door for us. But he'll answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you'll say, we ate and drank with you, and we taught in our streets. But he'll reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Folks, there's going to come a day. People are going to say, I went to church every week. I prayed like crazy. I was busy about your work. I taught Sunday school. But if you never personally received Jesus Christ, none of that is going to save you. There's one door. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me, that door. And it's the only door. When Jesus said, make every effort, he means business. You need to make it your number one goal in life to know for sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. You must decide today because you don't know about tomorrow. Anybody here absolutely sure you're going to be alive tomorrow? I'm not sure of it. Tonight, we all hear of people having strokes, heart attacks, all kinds of things can happen, and one night, you're gone. So we must decide today to receive Christ as Savior. So how do you do it? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, that's what the thief on the cross did. He confessed with his mouth. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's the confession with the mouth. You must believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Not you might be, you could be, you will be. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Again, not might be, not could be, will be. I have an absolute assurance in my heart tonight that I'm going to heaven because I have personally with my mouth confessed Jesus as my Lord, and I love telling all kinds of people. I'm trusting in Christ. I believe in my heart with all my heart that God rose Jesus Christ from the dead on the third day. And because of that, I can say with all honesty, I'm going to heaven. So the reason why people will go to hell, number one, three different reasons. Number one, people would rather remain in their sin than repent of their sins. In John chapter 8, verse 1, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people were gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." If you remember, Jesus, the Bible says, did not come into the world to condemn the world, because the world is already condemned. He came to save the world. And once we understand that, by the way, every time I read that, I always think, if she was caught in the very act of adultery, where's the man? I mean, they caught her with the man in adultery. All they brought was the woman. Folks, again, God is not a respecter of persons. He isn't going to go after the woman if the man's not there. We have to understand this. Number two, they'd rather be religious than have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes Lord of your life. Religious people just want to have a show. They want everybody to think, "Oh, what a religious, what a wonderful person." In James chapter 1, verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. There's a lot of religion going on, but religion without relationship does absolutely no good. I mentioned earlier there are going to be people that spent their whole life in church. Mom and dad took them to church when they were little children. They were in all the youth groups. They grew up and they maintained and kept teaching and singing in the choir, but they never received Christ. It's going to do them absolutely no good. And it's extremely important we understand that. And the third reason is they would rather satisfy the flesh than be renewed by the Spirit of God. In Galatians 5:16, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." When you receive Christ, I can remember like it was yesterday when I prayed in the shop to receive Christ. I knew that if I really received Jesus, there were things in my life that had to go. There was no question in my mind, I could not do this and receive Christ both. And people don't want to give up whatever their particular bent to sin is. They would rather keep doing the sin than repent. And the Bible says if there's no repentant heart, there's no salvation. You can't have one without the other. So the reason people go to hell is because the road is wide that leads to destruction. And many people take the easy way, at least it seems easy now. Every time we sin, sin is pleasant for a season. But then you have to reap what you've sown. And the hardest reaping that's ever going to happen is the day people are told by the Lord, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." And that word "knew" talks about being born into God's family. Everybody that's going to be going to heaven, the Bible says, must be born again. When a lost person dies and goes to hell, God is basically giving them just what they wanted. They did not want to walk with God in this life, and so God's saying, "Okay, you want to be separate from me, you want to run your own show, you're on your own, and you'll never be around me again." Folks, God does not force people to go to hell. God has done everything he can possibly do. He made a provision so that nobody has to go to the lake of fire. But there's only one provision. And if we reject that, no matter how good a person you are, no matter how much you are religious, you're not going to make it to eternal life. Jesus said, unless a person is born again, they will never see the kingdom of God. Atheist John Paul Sartre had an interesting perspective on this. He said, the gates of hell are locked from the inside by the free choice of men. Didn't sound like an atheist, did it? He really understood this thing. People make their own choice. Remember when Jesus knocks on the door of your heart to let him in? The knob is on the inside, not on the outside. The same is true about hell. You put yourself there. You're just getting the results of a choice that you made. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 3, it says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. So Jesus Christ paid the price for your salvation and mine. God doesn't want anybody to be separated from him. He made you for fellowship. That's his primary goal in a relationship with you. He wants you with him for time, and he wants you with him for eternity. Again, in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some might understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But there has to be an honest repentance. When I left this morning, I was standing out in the hallway, and Fred, Eric, came up to me, Eric Jr., Brancic, and he asked me, what about the people that have never heard the gospel? Well, what about them? In Romans 1:18, this is what it says. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what be made known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Just because somebody's never heard the gospel, there's still no excuse. God has revealed himself in nature. And if you'll seek God through nature, God will send somebody to give the gospel to you. In Nigeria, where they're killing Christians, they're going to wonder, why did we wind up in the lake of fire? It's because God sent them missionaries and Christians in their own country, and instead of listening to the gospel, they rebelled against God and killed the people that could have told them the truth. Folks, that's how bad it gets. And so it's extremely important we understand God wants to be our Savior. In John chapter 1, verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, talking about our Lord Jesus, to those who believed in his name, and you have to know the name Jesus means Jehovah saves, those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. Folks, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you become a son or daughter of God. God could never say to you, when it's time to go into heaven, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, because it would be a lie. If you have confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you have believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are a son or daughter of God. Satan will try to tell you, well, that's not enough. That is enough. That's all that God requires. It's enough. And so what we have to do is we have to say, that God saves his family. If I were going to go on a vacation when my children were young, and we were going to take a cruise up to Alaska, who would I take with me? I would take my wife and my children. Why? Because they're my family. What about the neighbor kids? They'd like to go to Alaska. Yes, they might like to go to Alaska, but they're not my family. And the same is true when it comes to eternal life. Who would like to go to heaven? Everybody would say, well, sure I do. But the only way you're going to get there is to become part of God's family. You must be born again through personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has made it very clear there is no other way. There won't be any excuses, and you get to choose. I just want to encourage you tonight. If anybody here has never made that choice, tonight better be the night, because we don't know about tomorrow. I want to encourage you tonight. In John 8:44, Jesus said to the Jewish people who were very religious, the Pharisees, he said, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Very religious people are going to wind up in the lake of fire. Religion won't save you. Relationship will. One last verse is John 3:3. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And the way you're born again is confessing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. For anyone that will call on the name of the Lord will be saved.